I'll share this with you now. It's on my mind, and I'm going to use it in an outline I'm going to do in a couple of weeks. But I was telling Paul about it this morning. My dad had a nightstand. It's still there. It's a nightstand beside the bed, and there's a bunch of junk in there. I was looking in there for something else, and there was all these old cards and stuff that people had sent my dad over when he was alive, of course, and Christmas stuff and get well and we missed you and all that. And I dug in there, and I said, well, shoot, man, there's no sense. There was some the kids had made. They drew on there, Damien, when he was small, and Brianna, and Sherry keeps that stuff. I said, let me get these cards out. And I started, looking in there. I'm telling you what, there was between 15 and 20 cards from Barbara and Floyd Markham to my dad. Missed you. Hope you get well. Merry Christmas, birthday, Easter, you name it, 15. Now, there was others from some of y'all in there. I think the second most was from Penny cards. It was just over there and over there. And, I mean, that was really, that was a ministry kind of. And Barbara, Paul said, Barbara's still sending some out. She has to get Jennifer to mail them for her and all that. But I'm telling you, it was 15 or 20 cards in there from my dad and from them. Of course, Barbara did it, I'm sure. And you could tell with her handwriting, she could write really neat as opposed to my handwriting. So I was just thinking about somebody, ministering or when you were to love one another. I thought about that. I got something that I want.
Diana does.
Diana ran. Yeah, I get them from Diana all the time, telling me what a great pastor that I am and that kind of stuff like that, just build you up. Yeah. She sends them like when she knows I got beat down by the congregation, she sends me a card. other people do that. I mean, people still do. I'm saying that they do. But, boy, I tell you what, when looked in there and the amount of them, I mean, because it was just a couple of years span, probably, and that many, there was 15 to 20. I just, Barbara, I was reading them out to Sherry. Well, Kyle was standing there. We were looking at it. Okay, Matthew chapter 22, and then down verse 15. It says, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, whose is this image and superscription? And they say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And when they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. I thought this was a good verse right before tax time. Got that looming out there for us right there. And the title of the message, I didn't get with William, was back there. I forgot to get with him, and Eileen wasn't here. Whose image do you bear? Whose image do you bear? We see that Jesus' enemies, they were trying to trick him. There wasn't a lot they could do with him. And they tried to trick him with a question about whether it was proper to pay taxes unto Caesar or not. And when Jesus gave the answer, and when you read it that way, and he gave an answer that's a lot deeper than what just answering the question about paying taxes. He said, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. But he also asked this question. He said, whose image is on that thing? Whose superscription, whose words, whose image are on that coin? And so the question tonight for us is, whose image do you bear? Whose image do you bear? We're either going to bear the image of the world, or we're going to bear the image of Christ. That's it. And we belong to whoever's image we bear. When Jesus said, whose image is on the coin? They said, it's Caesar's. He said, we'll give it to him. It's his. And he said, the things of God, you give it to him that belong to God. Give it to him. So we either bear the world's image or we bear God's image. And whoever image you bear determines your destiny. Whosever image you bear, it determines your destiny. Good time to look in the mirror, isn't it? Few points here. I don't know how long this message will go, and we didn't have singing in that, but that's okay. Sometimes you can have a dynamite in a small package, right? The very first point is man's destiny. Man's destiny appears clearly in God's word at creation. Yet here's the thing. Sin has so degraded man that he cannot conceive what he was meant to be based on what he is now. In other words, sin has degraded us so much that it's just hard to conceive what God meant for us to be in the world. But at creation, the Bible says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So I'm going to read this to you. I'll read it to you in Genesis. I mean, you can look there if you want to. It's Genesis 1:26. I got my markers in there so I can get pretty fast. He said this. Genesis 1:26 through 28. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And listen here, and pay attention here. And let them, man, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God said, have dominion over those things. Now, in Psalm, here's another great psalm, and I never looked at this way before, but I see it now. I'm paying more attention. Ever since we studied on how to study the Bible, I see. Psalm 8, 4 through 9 says, this question first. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. I always switched that over to Christ in my mind, but it's not. It's God. I mean, it's man. It's us. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Didn't we just read that in Genesis? Didn't he say that? That's what he said. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, and the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. God has made man. God made man. God created man. Man's destiny was to fill the earth, replenish the earth. That's what it said in Genesis. To subdue the earth, to have dominion over everything that God had created. He wanted man down here, have dominion over the earth and everything in it. That was our destiny originally, and sin ruined that. And we can't see that. Man was intended to be God's representative and to rule the earth. Boy, I tell you what happened, and I'll get to this at the end, but I'll lay it on you now. When we were redeemed to that very place again to be God's representative here on earth. About that. It was God's will that everything done on earth would be done through man. That's how God would operate. He's still operating that way today. That's how God operates today. He wants everything done through his people, through man. Man was to access the power at his disposal. That was the power of prayer. God intended man to have communion with him and prayer. And prayer would be the channel that God in heaven and his representative on earth, man, would communicate. That was it. Still that way, but I mean, that was the way God originally intended it as well. So man was to rule the earth by the power of prayer to God in heaven. God said, you got dominion over it. You rule it. Now, this is unfallen man. This was unfallen man, different nature, right? Then sin entered. We lost that, lost the wisdom to it. But I'll show you a few things about that. So how could God, you think, well, how could God entrust man to, and the destiny of the world, how could God entrust that into man's hands? Well, God said he made man in his image. Doesn't mean man looked like this or God looked like this, but it's talking about more internal probably than external. That we were made in God's, it does say in his likeness too. We were made in his image and likeness. And so what happened was that it was in our nature, and I'll show you this in a minute. It was in, God put in our nature, the nature to be Lord over everything that God had entrusted us with. He put it that way. And to have dominion over all those things. That's the way God made it, because that's the way God is. We're made in God's image. Isn't he Lord over everything? Okay, so he made us in his image, and it was that way. Now we would be in contact with God. But God even, it was even this way, that man would have decisions to make over earth and then pray to God for the power or the wisdom to do it. I mean, God entrusted man that much, unfallen man. He entrusted man. That's how he made us. That's what he intended us to do. And so then what happened was we had the fall of man. Man sinned. And what happened was then we went into rebellion against God. Before the fall, there was agreement between God and man. It was always an agreement. And man was fit to rule the earth. Man isn't fit to rule the earth now. Man hadn't done nothing but made a mess out of everything that we've tried to rule. But it was but God intended for man, like Christ, to be prophet, priest, and king. One of our doctrinal beliefs is priesthood of believers, that we have access to God, right? And we have the word of God. Man was designed to interpret God's will, to represent nature's needs, and to receive and dispense God's blessings. That's what God wanted for man to do on the earth, and then the fall happened. And man was so much like God that God could trust him with the privilege of asking for and receiving what the world would need. See, we can't even see it. We're so corrupted. We've been so corrupted by sin, it hasn't dawned on natural man, the average man, that's what God wanted. This is what we lost. This is part of the fall. This is what we lost as far as God's concerned. You know, from God, we lost all that, what God had for us or designed for us to do. Listen, man is of, we're of divine origin. We're of divine origin. We were made by God. Man, the dust of the earth, he breathed on us. That's divine. Man is of divine origin, created for and capable of having dominion or kingship rule over the earth. God designed us that way. But then the second point, sin disrupted that. Sin disrupted it. And now look, now that Lord-like nature that we got from God, Satan takes that very nature and he uses that against us, which is really against God, to rebel against God. See, now in our fallen nature, what do we say? We got all this, man is the king of his castle, right? What does man say? Nobody's telling me what to do. I'm going to rule and have dominion, right? That's our, we might not say it, but we're going to be, man, even with little kids, right? When we were little kids and we played games, we played war games. I guess now you can't do it. We were going to be the good guy, the winner. We were going to be the king. We were going to be whatever. We were going to be number one, right? The number one mentality is the corrupted nature that God originally made that sin corrupted. So now what happens is we don't want God ruling us because we want to be king. See, Satan even tried that with Jesus when he said, hey, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you just bow down and worship me, you won't have to go to the cross, right? See, he said that. And so we've lost this. It's and God and man went ahead and set up his kingdom apart from God. Well, how could he do it? Because he had that original nature, but it's still there, but now it's corrupt because of sin. He had that. We had that in our nature there. And so now what happens is man rules in the world without prayer, without divine wisdom, without divine power. And way back, you know, man tried to create. Listen, when Cain fled away from Abel, he cried out to God, "Well, it's more than I can bear." He was thrown out of the garden and he fled. And he said, "Well, it's more than I can bear." And he said, "Okay, nobody can kill you. I'm not going to let nobody kill you." And he ran off. Guess what? Eventually, his offspring, they established their own civilization. It's the world we live in today. That was the civilization, a civilization apart from God. At Babel, they tried to build a tower. They said, "We're going to get to heaven another way, in our own wise way. We're going to get everybody together. We're going to build a tower all the way up to heaven." And what happened? God confused their language, and that's why we got the languages of the world. And that Tower of Babel, that place became Babylon. Babylon was a city. It was the largest city, but it also represents, Babylon represents the world power that we see today. Well, what is that? That is man's kingdom apart from God. And man created a kingdom apart from God because he has it within himself, the original nature, the lordship, kingship nature that was corrupted by sin. And so there's a whole world, a whole godless world, and a world system that is in play today that's apart from God. But that shows the corrupt nature and the original intent corrupted, right? And so here we have man bearing another image, not the image of God, not the image of Christ. There's a world image and there's the image of Christ. But then we see the third point, God redeemed. And we think of that term redemption. You know, a lot of times right off the bat, this is where we naturally would go. I mean, it's true. We think of that term redemption, and we think that we have been redeemed from sin. We've been redeemed from, you know, the fallen nature, all those things that happen, and a lot of stuff that means that, you know, we've been redeemed back to God. We've been reconciled. There's another word we can use, back to God. We've been, forgiven and now the Holy Spirit indwells and all that. But we have to understand, not only have we been redeemed from something, we've been redeemed to something. God has not only brought us out of something, he brought us to something. We redeem, and he not only redeemed us from that sin and sinful state, but he redeemed us to bearing the image of Christ, which is God, the image of God. He's brought us back to that state. It's where we're supposed to be. And then, of course, you know, when God sent his son, Christmas, we're celebrating that. And Jesus came as a baby, but he didn't stay a baby in a manger. Grew up as a man. There was Jesus walking the earth. What was he doing? He was bearing the image of God. He was bearing the image of God as a man. He didn't operate in his deity. He operated in his humanity to show man, this is what you have fallen from, and God was going to redeem you to, would be Christ on earth as he walked on earth. You know, that was it. And so that we saw that. And then, of course, Jesus went to the cross. When he walked on the earth and lived on the earth, he was really, like I say, demonstrating what God would have us to see. He wanted us to see that. And then he went to the cross, paid for our sins, redeem us back to that very place, the destiny that God had for man from the very beginning. And that's what. And what are we going to do? What does it tell us that we're going? What are we going to do in the millennial reign? We're going to rule and reign with Christ. Right where God wanted us from the start, to have dominion over everything upon the earth. That's what's going to happen. We're going to have that same rule. Listen, prayer never changed. Prayer still remains what it would have been if man had never fallen. That's one thing that never changed. Prayer still remains that. Because, see, when we really pray, you know, you've heard people say this. You know, I've heard Harold say it. I've said it. And a lot of other preachers before have said it. We're not praying to get our will done on earth, or get our will done in heaven. We're praying to get God's will done on earth. Huh. Now, if we're dead, we've died, we've been crucified with Christ, yet we live, yet not I, but Christ that lives within me. If Christ is living within me, I'm living the surrendered life I'm supposed to be. Whose will would I be getting done? be his will, right? Yeah, it'd be his will. And so prayer would be, am I really praying or is it Christ praying? Huh? Bible talks about, you know, sometimes we don't know what to pray, then the Holy Spirit prays, right? I guarantee you his prayer is going to be better than mine in my flesh. But if it's Christ in me, right? And so prayer is still the communication, still communication. It's still with the Father and the power that's still there, the power to hold the destinies of the universe, that we still have that. I mean, prayer is just not just a cry for mercy. It's the greatest execution of God's will that there is. That's prayer. That's what real prayer is. And all through the Bible, prayer has affected the destiny of man. All throughout the prayer. Think, man, God, prayers move God. We talked about it some, I think, in Sunday school this morning. Listen, Abraham's prayer. Man, Abraham prayed for Sodom. And you know what? If they had found 10 righteous men, God wouldn't have destroyed that city because Abraham prayed. But they wouldn't even have been looking for 10 righteous men if Abraham hadn't prayed. God was going to go ahead and destroy. He couldn't find it. You know, you don't find Abraham praying one time for himself. He was praying for somebody else. He was praying, man, because he knew that. Moses' prayers changed the destiny of Israel. We talked about them. God was going to kill them all. Moses said, listen, basically, I'll paraphrase it for you. God, if you kill them all the other nations of the world will say that you are not great enough to rescue these people. That's pretty much what he said. And God said, all right, I'm not going to kill them all. He didn't. Now, God knew that. But that was the prayer of Moses, right? He prayed. I mean, it changes things. I said about Ezekiel, man, he sought for a man to stand. God said in Ezekiel, he sought for a man to stand in the gap for the land. But I found none that I should not destroy it. Well, if he had found one, he wouldn't destroy the land. Boy, somebody had been down there and been a praying man, right? We talked about that maybe last week. So it proves that man who is God's friend has power to control the history of those around him in a certain way. Well, why is that? Well, because if Christ is living in us, then our will and his will be one, which is the way God intended it to be. We created in the image of God. Whose image do we bear, right? All right, now John 15:7 says this, ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Does that mean that anybody can pray that prayer and that happen? I'm tell you what, that the lost people couldn't pray that prayer and have anything happen. I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to go so far as to say there's saved people that can't pray that prayer and have it happen. Ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Who's it apply to? Those that are abiding in Christ. See what? He uses the vine illustration. Abiding, you know, the vine, the branch abiding in the vine. When the branch is abiding in the vine, kind of like these, when it's abiding in the vine, what kind of fruit does it produce? It produces the fruit that the branch produces the fruit that the vine says. See, that the vine dictates it, what it's going to produce, right? And so those who are bearing fruit, I mean, that, you know, it's the works. When we're abiding in Christ, the works that we do are for the glory of God. When the works that we do are always for the glory of God, we can ask what we will because we're not going to ask amiss. We're going to ask according to the mind of Christ. For the glory of God. And you'll always ask the right thing. And it'll always. So you can ask what you will. But your will is going to be. Has been redeemed back. To God. To bear the image of God. That's the difference right there. That's what God was redeeming us back for. That prayer will be answered for those who have forsaken themselves. For a life of obedience and self-sacrifice to him. That prayer will be answered. And it'll be answered for those who've realized that their redemption through Christ has brought them back to their original destiny. I mean, it's all through the Bible. Listen, God's representatives on earth. Isn't that what we're to be as a church? Isn't that it today? That's what we were to be originally. Huh? And God's getting his will done on earth through man. That's what we were to be doing originally. It's not different now. It's not to be different now. We were redeemed back to that state, the way God made us in his image. Our calling as Christians. Listen, our calling as Christians is higher and holier than most Christians realize. It's, you know, the basics. We get to the basics and it's like stopping in the first grade. We get to the basics and say, well, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven and I'm not going to hell. And that's it. Man, listen, there's tons more to it than that. Huh, there's tons more to it than that. That's not the only reason. Listen, I don't even know. That's just really icing on the cake. God saved us, and the reason he doesn't take us on to heaven, because that isn't his main goal. His main goal is that we rule and reign on the earth as God intended us to do to start with, and to be his representative on earth and to get his will done on earth. It's us. That's a scary thought. If I was God, what am I doing? No, but God knows. I mean, but this is it. This is what God. It's holier and higher than we realize. Man, this is a. What else are you going to do? God wants us to be kings and priests. That's a Baptist. Certainly an independent Baptist doctrine. I mean, it's in the Bible, man. We have the priesthood of believers, kings. We're going to rule and reign with Christ on earth in the millennial reign. We're going to rule and reign with him. It even says we're going to rule with a rod of iron. I know we know that Christ is going to. It says we will rule with a rod of iron. We're going to rule with Christ. That's what he wanted us to be to start with. That he wanted us to have dominion over everything on the earth. Everything on the earth, that was our original destiny. And now it's still our destiny. It's still it. Whose image? Whose image do you bear? Whose inscription? Whose image and superscription is on your life, is on your soul? Huh? That determines your destiny. You have to look at yourself. We got that first of the year New Year's resolution, new start thing coming up, right? This would be a good thing to think about. Whose image do I bear? Whose image do I bear? That's all I have for you tonight. Come on up here, Paul. Dynamite come in small packages sometime. Amen? That's some good stuff right there.